The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Joining me now, though, is the Minister of State for Special Education and Inclusion, Josepha Madigan. Minister, you're very welcome to the show. Fully recovered after the 5K run for the Hard Shoulder at the weekend?
Just about. I managed not to disgrace myself anyway. It was good to do it. Great charity, and well done to you for the charity. Like 25,000, I think you raised, or more.
Yeah, it's over amazing. 25 grand. It was great, yeah. and it was great to see everybody there. And we had a great turnout. I think we'll have to do it again sometime soon. And listen, all of that money, every red cent that everybody raised is on its way to Ireland's Children's Hospital. So thank you. Thank you to everybody listening again who dipped their hands into their pockets. If people, I should say, want to go to our Twitter account at The Hard Shoulder, you can find a little video of the weekend and everybody's attempts at 5K. You can find it there. Minister, I want to ask you about Jerome Bailiwick in just a moment, but first, just kind of some news that's been emerging in the last few minutes about the guidelines that are going to dictate how the hospitality industry operates from tomorrow. It looks like there is still a lack of clarity around nightclubs, pubs. You're going to be able to order a drink at the bar, but you can't drink it at the bar. You'd have to bring it back to your table. So some change there. But the meeting was meant to have started earlier this afternoon. It's now been pushed back to 6 o'clock. This is getting very last minute, isn't it?
Well, I'd imagine that, you know, well, I can see that the line minister, she is engaging with the sector to iron out, you know, these issues. And obviously, each sector has its own specific guidelines. So, I mean, look, I imagine there's conversations going on at every level. And look, this is part of the latest step in reopening. And I think it's a mark of how far we've come. And what you're saying there, it seems to be mooted for now, but we haven't seen the final version yet of the guidelines. So,
I mean, nightclubs can open in about 6 hours' time, 6.5 hours' time. I mean,
yeah, well, if there's another meeting, I guess that she's going to be discussing all of the minutiae around, you know, queuing and mask wearing and social distancing and all of these operational issues. I mean, I suppose we have to remember as well, we're not going backwards. You know, there is no pause. At least they are opening. But obviously, the sector will need specific guidelines around exactly what's going to happen, you know, on a practical level, because those practical things are important. And as well as that, you know, we want the next steps, whatever they are, to be safe and sustainable, because, you know, the one thing we don't want to do is go backwards. Like, we are incrementally getting there step by step, and we want to make sure that we continue in that vein.
Well, listen, I mentioned Jerome Bailiwick, and I know today the National Council for Special Education have announced the creation of additional special class places for next year. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to say at the outset that the majority of children with additional needs, in fact, I think it's about 98%, are in mainstream classes, you know, in mainstream schools. But then there are children with more complex needs who can't, I suppose, function adequately or learn or be supported properly in a mainstream class, and they need to go into a special class. So these new classes are only possible because of the significant budget for special education that I secured this year, which is over 2 billion, which it's almost over 25% of the entire education budget. So those 1,700 special class places are effectively 287 new special classes in 2022. So already this year, we have 2,118 special classes across the country, and they provide about 12,700 special class places. So these 1,700 are in addition to that. And I want to thank the National Council for Special Education for helping with rolling out these classes, because the one thing that I don't want to see is a child that doesn't have a special class. I mean, every child with special education needs deserves an appropriate education based on their own particular needs. And we've also secured special education teachers. So there are 980 in total that we've secured in the budget, and 360 of those will go directly to special classes. And then we also have another 1,165 special needs assistance. So we're going to have a total of 19,000 by next year, which is a real record. And I think when we look at special classes in general, we've increased them since 2011 by 386%, which is a huge amount. And I know people mightn't like to hear statistics, but at the same time, it shows, you know, the progress that we've made over these number of years. And one of the things that I want to try to do is obviously ameliorate any issues that I see and try and assist and make sure that we continue open those special classes where we need them around the country.
So these, just for people who are, I suppose, lucky enough maybe not to have to deal with this on a daily basis, these are not special schools, where these places are going to, as we would have called them. These are these kind of additional units now that are being built or provided on the sites of mainstream schools.
That's exactly what they are. So each special class would only contain six children. And those six children will be supported by one special educational teacher and two SNAs. And the majority of schools collaborate with the National Council for Special Education in opening special classes. And we're always encouraging schools to do so. Obviously, I have Section 37A, which I've triggered in the past, where we have to compel a school to open a special class. But the majority of them do of their own volition. And I want to thank all of those that do, because it's all about inclusion at the end of the day. You know, we want to have that culture and ethos of inclusion in a school. And obviously it starts at home as well. It's really important that we look after all of our children, you know, especially children with additional needs. They're our most vulnerable at the end of the day. And they've suffered enormously during the pandemic. And I was on your programme before and we spoke about, you know, the summer provision and the class scheme, which, you know, and also the supplementary scheme where we've tried to support them during the pandemic. So that's a separate issue to the special class places. But, you know, we try to ensure that we provide them. The resources are now there. And those 1,700 additional special class places will really, really go a long way to helping make sure that every child gets that education they need.
It'll go a long way. But how short are we of being able to guarantee that for every child? Because I would have spoken to people on the show, and I know you speak to people as well, who maybe have a child due to start in their local school next September or the September after, and that special class doesn't exist yet, and they don't know where the child is going to go to school.
Yeah, and you know, the local CNOs that are the special education needs organisers are on the ground. They liaise with schools, they liaise with families. And one of the things that we've put in place is that forecasting piece, which really wasn't, in my view, there in a way that should have been. It is there now. So what happens is the planning and building unit share their GIS or their geographical information system with the NCSE, so that the NCSE can see building projects that are planned in each geographical area in real time. So we do that already with mainstream classes, but it hadn't been done for special classes. So now that is being done. So that means that you're not scrambling then at the end trying to find a place for a child that doesn't have a place. Now, there are obviously some children sometimes who avail of home tuition in very limited and specific circumstances, maybe for medical conditions or other reasons. But generally, we try to have a child either, if not in mainstream, then in a special class. And if they have very severe or complex needs, then they will go to a special school. There are 124 special schools. We've opened another one in Cork and another one in Cork. So now we have 126. And I visit them quite a lot, actually, and special classes to get that feedback from these families and from the staff, because it's the staff and teachers who tell me what they really need, you know, on a practical level. Because policy is one thing, but you want to hear, you know, where there are shortfalls or where they need more resources. So they give me that feedback when I meet them.
Minister of State for Special Education and Inclusion. My apologies, Josepha Madigan, Minister. Thanks a million for joining us here on the Hard Shoulder.